so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Welcome back. It is January 21st. Brian and Sam here with you. Weekend recap. It was a busy and long weekend, if I may speak for myself, and I think you're kind of in there with me, but we'll start with the biggest story of the weekend was the NFL playoffs conference championship weekend. NFC saw the Rams and the Saints going at it in the Dome. Saints are a different team in the Dome and kind of looked like the same team, but they were aided, or I guess hurt, by a bad call.
Oh, just an absolutely brutal call. And it was a call that was bad enough to get the attention of Hulk Hogan, who did his flying through the air brother type tweet that said no call or whatever. But yeah, that cost the Saints a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And like many people have said, like you wait till next year, but you don't wake up as a one seed and with home field advantage in the NFC Championship. So they were just absolutely robbed of their chance to go to the Super Bowl, and that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the NFC, you bring up a good point. There's no guarantee to be back there. I mean, the Rams look like they're going to be set for a little while. The Bears are on the upswing. Yeah. You got to assume...
We were wrong about Sean McVay.
Yeah, you got to assume one of Green Bay or Minnesota is going to be better than last year. You've got to assume that, the NFC East is going to continue to improve. I think the Eagles are still a good team. God only knows what the Cowboys are going to give you, but like the Giants can't be that bad again. I mean, unless Eli's still quarterbacking, but I think they've got a future. And so it's like there are a bunch of good teams that are coming up in the NFC that now all of a sudden they've got to worry about. And, you know, they're still in a division with Atlanta and Carolina. Like there are good teams all around, so... You can't take for granted the fact that you get a one seed and then, Zuerlein hits two great field goals, which, to the chagrin of many Bears fans, it was a dagger in the chest. But LA moves on 26-23 final in overtime. In the AFC, Pats controlling most of the game, 14-0 at the half. 17-7 into the fourth quarter, and then just a point explosion. We have a couple big challenge plays all going the Patriots' way, and I think they should have. I think they got the calls right. I don't, Edelman did not touch that ball or did not clearly touch that ball. I think the Hogan play was a catch. The ball never bobbled once he held on to it.
Not according to Dez Bryant on Twitter, but it looked like to everybody else that it was.
Oh, Dez. And then I can't even remember the last one, but it was that's just what happened, that the Patriots got the calls they needed, and they were the right calls. But there was also the phantom roughing the passer call on Tom Brady, which was negated by the phantom pass interference call for the Chiefs on the following drive.
Exactly. I saw that it was called the lightly jostling the passer penalty, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, you barely see Tom's head go down, and it's all of a sudden 15 yards. But this big storyline, I mean, there's an overarching one that I want to talk about for the entire weekend, but the big storyline of this game was the Chiefs' defense stinks, and Tom Brady, essentially every time they needed a big play, I don't know how many third downs they converted in the fourth quarter and overtime, but it felt like 10 or 15. And obviously that's hyperbole, but that's what it feels like. And it was just going to Julian Edelman over the middle time and time again. And then occasionally they'd sprinkle Gronk in on the outside. Like if they're going to do one or the other, and the Chiefs just didn't have the bodies or the personnel to match up with it. And every single time, Tom made him pay.
Yeah. And Julian Edelman, it seemed like, was open more often than not.
Yeah.
And the Patriots see it. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I wouldn't be surprised if they converted third down 60-70% of the time.
Yeah.
And if they didn't get it on third down, they went ahead and went for it in the Chiefs' territory on fourth down and got it no problem. And there were the Chiefs' run defense was just getting gashed for on first, second down for 6, 7, 8 yards over and over and over again. And the fact that they were still in the game when it really mattered was a testament to the offense. And Showtime Mahomes, who had a very, very slow first half, kind of
missed a lot of receivers.
Yeah, showed us some great excitement and some awesome plays, funky arm angles in the second, and gave him a chance to win the game down the stretch. But the defense blew it, like you said.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention D Ford lining up offsides on a pass that was intercepted. Real backbreaker.
Idiotic.
The Patriots another chance. Just mental mistakes, it seems, from this defense where they're just not there for a snap, and all of a sudden Brady takes advantage. But you're right, the run defense was atrocious. Gave up what seems like a billion yards on the ground. It turned out to be only 176, but 4 rushing touchdowns. It was quite a bit. And, I mean, it's not like the Patriots played a perfect game. Their defense wasn't that great. And I thought, they turned the ball over twice.
Yeah.
They had a lot of drops, though. Like, I think one of the interceptions, I don't know about the other one, was a drop through Edelman's hands. Cordarrelle Patterson had like 3 or 4 big drops in the third or in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Yeah.
It was just very weird to see a Patriots team like that not executing. But the Pats were 13 of 19 on third down.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. And like you said, the Pats sure didn't play a perfect game, and they left the window open for the Chiefs plenty of times, and we're a blown call and a brain fart by D Ford away from being a Saints Chiefs Super Bowl.
And it's crazy too, because if you look at the numbers, it was just pure domination from the Patriots. 94 plays to 47, 524 yards to 290. Like they were fantastic throughout the night, and the Chiefs just made plays when they needed to keep themselves alive. It was bend, don't break, and they couldn't make it happen when they finally got down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the big thing. NFL overtime needs to change. There is no reason. Yes, the Saints had the ball, and there was like a weird interception play, but there's no reason that both quarterbacks should not get to touch the ball. Like, there's absolutely no reason that Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes should not get a chance to win the game for their team or tie the game. Move to the college format, put the ball at the 50 or put the ball at their own 20, whatever you want to do, just put it that way and let them go at each other.
Yeah, especially due to the fact that Patrick Mahomes is one of the most marketable young players, likely an MVP, and the fact that he didn't get a chance to cover for his lackluster defense is surprising to me. And especially like whether it's in the regular season or not, but especially in the playoffs, I feel like each team has just got to get a fair shot at it. But the NFL has been keen to change on really weird rules like the kickoff and protecting the quarterback and all this stuff, and kind of slower to change on stuff that would make the game more exciting, I'd say. So we'll see if that's all in the future.
If this had anything to do with player safety, they would have made the air quote player safety. They were made a change years ago, but now it's just like, oh, this is kind of like a vanity thing, even though it decides many, many games. Like, you could completely erase the tie. Football and soccer are the two sports that have ties. Nobody else does it anymore. Why are we still living in this world?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Wish I could tell you.
Anyways, that's the NFL. Yeah. Rams.
Well, I want to say I was 0-for-2 on my picks, which I think out of the 10 playoff games there have been, I've only gotten like 3 or 4 right. So any prediction from me, this has been long by known people that I'm closer with, but any prediction from me, take it with a grain of salt, because I pick with my heart over my head too often. So
interesting. it's a tough one. I mean, it's not – these are good teams for a reason, and these are, they're tough games to pick. But here we are with a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. I guess that we kind of all expected, but in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
College basketball, we've got a bunch of upsets. There are no more unbeaten teams. Duke takes down Virginia at Cameron Indoor, 72-70. Wisconsin beats Michigan 64-54 in a game that Brazdeikis did not score, only took five shots, looked out, just completely out of it. Michigan could not hit anything. Xavier Simpson had like a good bad game. That's the only way I can put it. Like he stuffed the stat sheets and made plays when he needed to, but he also had a lot of unforced errors in terms of bad shots and then obviously some turnover issues. Teske was essentially the only guy that came to play for Michigan, and that was not nearly enough.
Oh, yeah, no way. And then especially even this Wisconsin has been quote-unquote down for the past couple years. The Kohl Center is obviously one of the better environments in the Big Ten and a tough place to play in.
I think Michigan's like 2-14 there all time.
Yeah, exactly, which is testament to that, even no matter how good or bad Wisconsin has been. And Michigan, I think, shot like 28% from three. And when you're a defensive-laden team that kind of slows down the pace and is going to not have a ton of possessions, when you're obviously, as any team, when you're not hitting shots, you're not going to do all that well.
Right. I mean, we talk about it at length in the B. Fox and B. Frank show about Virginia's style of play. Like, when you slow the game down, you take possessions out, so you have to take advantage of those possessions when you get them. And they obviously did not do that. Moving through the rest of the country, top 10, top 25, and then, you know, those games. West Virginia gets their first conference win at home against Kansas, of all teams. The Jayhawks. I go back and forward on whether or not I think Kansas is a good team. And when you look at all the players, you're like, yeah, this is a good team.
It's a stacked roster.
Yeah. And then you realize, well, Dedrick Lawson is kind of their only big man, and Mitch Lightfoot can come in and play, but he can't be the solo big man, and he'd prefer to be outside a little bit. They don't really have a body inside anymore with Doak out for the year. LeGerald Vick,
McCormick's got about a year to develop back on some pounds too.
He's
so,
just not
there. They're really struggling inside.
And I don't even think having Silvio D'Souza like helps them that much. Obviously, he's not there, but I don't think he's that helpful. So essentially you're looking at a four out, one in offense, and it's like Dedrick Lawson needs the ball in his hands at all times, but you don't really have guys that get to the rim. Like Graham gets to the rim a little bit, Dotson gets to the rim a little bit, but most of these guys like to shoot, like LeGerald Vick, and they don't make it at a high clip, so all of a sudden you can just pack in and let them try and shoot the ball. LeGerald Vick has way too much of a green light, and I think we saw that in this game, but...
Yep. Oh, and he'll go on a tear for like 2-3 games.
Yeah,
he'll score more than 20 points in and shoot maybe 60% from three, and then come back to earth for a couple weeks. So it's like you said, way too much of a green light based on a too small sample size of games, I think.
Yeah, and this is almost like the annual Kansas January, early February lull where all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, they're not going to win the Big 12. This is crazy. Yep. Someone else is going to do it. And then the Big 12 just completely falls apart, which kind of which leads us perfectly into the next game. Baylor 73, Texas Tech 62. Yep. Red Raiders had a great chance to completely take over the Big 12, and they just fell flat. Baylor with a big win for them. So congrats to Kansas for winning yet another Big 12 title because no one else wants it.
As P. Fox said on LetMeBeFrankVlog.com when Fox is top 10, no Big 12 teams, and he asked the question if anybody even wanted to win the Big 12 because the top three teams, given opportunities when Kansas trips up, nobody can capitalize.
It really makes you wonder, like, what if Dean Wade didn't get hurt again? Where's K-State in this argument at this point in the year? You know, Iowa State completely fell apart after they beat Kansas. So what's going on here? But Purdue blows out Indiana 70-55. Kentucky over Auburn 82-80.
That was a good one.
This game confused the hell out of me because I think Auburn is the better team. Actually, first off, I want to say I told you so to the Kentucky fans that sat behind me at the Seton Hall Kentucky game at the Garden. I said, remember me when you guys beat Auburn in January and what you were thinking right now, that this team isn't that good and this, that, the other. I told them they were going to beat Auburn, and here we are.
There you go.
Auburn without Austin Wiley is a different team. But they've still got a lot of talent, and they should be going to the rim more than they settled for so many threes. And that's what allowed Kentucky to get in this game. The first, like, 10 minutes, Auburn just kept taking threes, not getting anywhere near the rim and not scoring. And it allowed Kentucky to build a small lead and then slowly get their footing and get some momentum going. And then down the stretch, Kentucky just executed better.
Yeah, and when I think Auburn basketball and pretty much SEC in general, I don't think, like, Big East spread the floor, chucking up a ton of threes. I think, physical, like you said, like, getting to the basket.
Running, yeah.
Because and the SEC is getting better as a basketball conference, but just, like, the nature of the recruit, there's an insane amount of athletes down in the Southeast that they pull from, and they can get to the basket pretty much at will, maybe have a mid-range jumper and have one or two guys who can hit threes on every team. But like you said, Auburn was just basically not playing to their identity all that well.
Right. That was a fun one. It'll be great to see. Hopefully they match up again in, like, the SEC semifinals in a game that, like, really matters, as opposed to now where it's like, oh, you know, it hurts, but we can bounce back from it.
Yeah, a lot of season left.
Yeah. Texas beats Oklahoma 75-72. McConaughey on the bench, essentially, with, like, a beautiful three-piece orange suit. That was, like, the highlight of that game.
Hair flowing. Yeah. as soon as you brought it up, I wasn't even going to mention how close of a game or whatever it was. I was just like, everybody had – McConaughey stole the spotlight.
He did.
Time and time again.
This is kind of what we expect out of Oklahoma, to be up and down. Texas has been extremely up and down this year. They need to find a little consistency here heading into February if they want to have a chance to make the tournament. But they got a couple nice wins. If they can just not lose to, you know, the bottom half of the Big 12, they'll be all right.
Yeah, well, and we've kind of touched on it in the past few weeks, but the Pac-12 being so down, that really leaves the opportunity.
There are a lot of at-large bids for other conferences.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
the final game, Boston College. This goes under the radar on Sunday. Boston College beats Florida State 87-82. My preseason ACC Player of the Year pick, Kai Bowman, goes for 37. I think Jim Christian has a good team. I think they've been wildly inconsistent. And then on Florida State's side, this comes after I say I don't foresee them losing many games. They go out and lose back-to-back following the Duke game, which gives them, I think, three losses in a row. So, shows what I know. But Florida State needs to find consistency on the defensive end. They just cannot seem to play a full 40-minute game on that side of the floor. And when they do, they're going to be very tough to stop. That's what we saw last year in March. That's why they made that Elite Eight run. Everything stems from the defensive end for them. They've got so many athletes, so long, that all they have to do is really disrupt passing lanes and they'll be a better team defensively.
Well, yeah, and like you said, they're just finishing games for them because they had Duke on the ropes and they were playing better that game for, what, 38, 39 minutes nearly. And kind of the same story here, just not finishing games.
Yeah, and I mean, that's college basketball. This is what we're going to be talking about, looking forward to as the year goes on. It's going to be chaos every Saturday. And this was, as we talked pre-show, the busiest Saturday of the year, 150 games going on. And from here, it's going to be an all-out sprint to March. So very excited about that. Obviously, our two teams not doing as well as we had hoped, but that's a diatribe for another time.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I've got one thing before we close, something that I meant to share in the NFL segment, but some Sammy stats for you.
Here we go.
The NFL kickers hit a 47-yard field goal, 39 yards, which was shorter than he must not be named, 48, and then Greg Zuerlein's winning kick was 57. So in the more like sketchy range or whatever, they were 4 for 4, absolutely perfect, and that just, none of them were tipped. None of them hit off the posts. None of them were double doinks. So we were saying in the Let Me Be Frank group that it was just pouring salt in the wound every time a kicker makes a big kick. I wonder what that's like.
Yeah. I just, you know, I really question which kicker was going to be on the Today Show this week because they actually did their jobs properly.
Exactly.
But yeah, last topic, Manny Machado. The reported offer from the White Sox, 7 years, $175 million. Baseball players all around are insulted by this. They're upset by this. They say there's 100% going to be a strike if this is the best offer he gets. Like, that's a lot of money. I don't think he... I mean, I could see getting up to 200, but the years, like, I don't know. I don't... Yeah. I find it hard to feel bad for a guy that's going to make a lot of money in a sport that you fail more often than not. Does he deserve more? That's hard to say because... I don't know. I could easily see 200 plus million. Like, if their problem is that he's not getting 200 plus million... That's fine. I get that. $25 million for a rich owner is not that much more, especially a team like the White Sox where they have essentially no payroll right now.
Yeah.
Like, they aren't paying anybody to play baseball. They've got the room, but why bid against yourself? Like, if no one's come out with the offer, if they think they've got the best offer, why would they outbid themselves and raise the price?
Yeah, the thing, I was surprised to see 175. I was expecting somewhere near an A-Rod range or maybe 220, 250 million even.
Because we've
heard time and time again, oh, White Sox are finally going to cut just a massive check for somebody.
And I mean, but this is a massive check for them.
Exactly. For them it is, but not for Chicago, not for, hell, Jason Hayward's getting paid more over the life of his contract. So that's something that, and when you're into the, when you're fighting about whether you're going to make $17 million versus $25 million, like with all your endorsements that you're going to get from your new city, is it really that big of a deal?
Right.
But yeah, that
I mean, it is though.
The fact that
baseball is an ego sport and Machado clearly loves the ego and he is that guy. He wants to be the man. He wants to be the center of attention. And I don't blame him. You're good at what you do. You deserve it.
Yeah. And it's been rumored that he was just going to go to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
And when the Yankees and Phillies see this, they're going to like laugh and raise the price 10, 15, 20 million. Even.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to see, obviously, as we said, it's life-changing money for anybody, but the fact that the White Sox seem to be going a little bit conservative with their $175 million offer is a little odd to me.
Yeah, especially with them being rumored all offseason to be in very deep with both Machado and Harper. And for a little while, people legitimately thought they might get both. And it was like, whoa, where are the Sox getting this money from? But yeah, I think... that's the big thing to watch. I think Machado will be the first to sign because Bryce Harper does not seem to have any rush in his decision-making. And honestly, it sucks. Baseball's offseason is the worst. There was nothing that happened at the winter meetings this year. Everything has been centered around free agency, and we are like under a month from pitchers and catchers reporting, and we still have the two biggest free agents on the market, and then like the next seven also. So I get the teams have to wait a little bit to make moves because they need to see where the big money is going. But once it finally goes and happens, I think we'll start seeing like just a ton of signings.
Oh yeah. I think when Machado he said in January, so we've only got 10, 11 more days.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's coming soon. And then once he signs, I think that like Harper may still wait, but then after that, the floodgates will kind of be open for that.
Yeah.
Lesser free agents, as you said earlier.
Yeah, and I think the teams that are in on Harper will know who they are. And if they need to hold the money back, they will. But if not, they're going to go spend it. And I think once Machado signs, a lot of dominoes will fall following that.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
But we talked about this topic at length, Hayes and I, on 5-Minute Friday, the first episode. So go be sure to check that out. But we will be back with you next weekend to recap college basketball, Pro Bowl, and hopefully a free agent signing in baseball, but we'll find out.
Fingers crossed. Not holding my breath on it, though.
Yeah. We will see you then.